Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget about our text project today. We're collecting reasons that some of you choose not to vote in elections. And if you choose not to vote in elections in general, text NYC Votes to 30644 and we'll reply with a question for you to tell us why. Text NYC Votes to 30644 to tell us why you don't vote in elections, and we'll talk about your replies later in the show. Right now, it's time again for our weekly October series on cars with Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds.com and editor-in-chief of AutoObserver.com. Today, your car and the broader economy. The UAW is settling on its first post-bailout contracts with GM and Chrysler. New car sales are actually a bright spot in the economy. Small cars seem to be making a comeback at the National Car of the Year Awards, and we're joined again by Michelle Krebs from Edmunds and Auto Observer. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
And I understand that you're a juror on the North American Car and Truck of the Year Awards. What does that mean you do?
Right. That is an award that's given by a group of journalists across the North America who cover anything from the business of the auto industry to car reviews. So we put together a list of everything that's new, and we winnow that down, and eventually we come up with the best car in terms of value, a breakthrough in its segment, that kind of thing. So we just had our drive last week in Hell, Michigan.
In what's the town?
Hell.
H-E-L-L?
We all went to hell.
Well, the whole auto industry went to hell, but it's coming back.
It's coming back.
What are you seeing in that competition?
Well, it's fascinating this year because we got there and there's the parking lot filled with small cars. And, you know, we talked about the America downsizing its vehicles, but it's finally here. And something like, I think we came up with, of the 17 vehicles, something like a dozen of them get over 40 miles per gallon.
So do you have,
amazing.
Yeah, do you have winners, actual winners of this show
we
already announced?
It will be announced at the Detroit Auto Show in January.
What were some of those high mileage vehicles?
Oh, things like the Ford Focus, the Hyundai Accent, the Chevrolet Sonic, we've got the Volkswagen Beetle in there. The Hyundai Elantra.
Does that mean that journalists like you like these cars, or that people actually want to buy them?
Oh, people are buying them. Here's what's fun. The funny thing that happens when somebody comes up with something interesting in a segment, and this year we've seen a lot of action in the small car segment. A lot of the automakers have introduced the small cars. The entire segment, it's kind of all boats rise. So that whole segment has gained in terms of sales and a lot of interest. Now, next year it's going to be interesting because we'll see that in the mid-sized car segment.
So our theme this week is cars in the broader economy. And cars, I think unbeknownst to most people listening right now, are actually considered an economic bright spot this year, aren't they?
It's quite amazing. It's the auto industry is adding jobs. The UAW and the Big Three just settled a contract, which will add jobs and new products and add shifts at plants. And sales, we are anticipating, Edmunds.com just came out with its forecast today. We expect October to be the highest month of sales since August of 2009, which was when kind of artificially high from cash for clunkers.
Why? If people can't afford to buy homes, why are they buying cars?
Well, they have to have a car to get to work. We always see that as a high priority. The other thing is that the cars on the road right now are the oldest they've ever been. They're almost at 11 years old as an average. And so there's a pent-up demand that absolutely has to be met. And you know, people are also looking to do better on fuel economy.
Did you hear about the person whose car, I'm going to have to look up what model it was unless you know it.
The Honda Accord driven a million miles?
Yes.
Yes, I did see that. That's one of the interesting things about that, and why the cars on the road are so old. They're so much better than they used to be that they can go those long lengths of time.
And it's, I think, always considered good advice to people to hold on to their old cars as long as they possibly can, as long as they're maintaining them well, because it'll be cheaper for you in the long run than buying a new car every 5 years or whatever.
Right. It, depends on your personal needs. I mean, people who own a business or have the ability to write it off on their taxes may want to do, lease and get that kind of benefit. So there are a lot of different factors.
Right. Can you tell us more about those UAW contracts? Of course, it was such big news when GM and Chrysler were bailed out at the beginning of the Obama administration, and it was so controversial. There were restructuring of the labor agreements. So we talked about the Eurozone haircut in our earlier segment. How much of a haircut are auto workers taking in order to make their companies profitable again?
Well, they took the haircut early on.
Back then.
And they got a little bit back, didn't get an increase in hourly wage, but they're getting some different kinds of bonuses. And they aren't great contracts for the UAW, but they're, they are creating more jobs. So the new jobs will come in at the lower wage rate. They have it now here, have a two-tier wage structure, so the new workers get half of what the older workers did. There's a lot more guarantees about plants that will get new products, and that means more job security. They're good contracts for the automakers because they kept their overall fixed costs lower.
Now, we can take some calls for Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com and AutoObserver.com over the next few minutes. Last week, we took calls from people who were buying cars and gave advice on buying cars. Today, Michelle will talk to you a little bit about selling your car. So if you're trying to sell your car so that you can upgrade or whatever, and you have a question about that, call us right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anything you want to say or ask about cars as a factor in the overall economy, 212-433-9692. Who tends to sell their cars? Where do these used cars come from?
Well, the biggest exchange of vehicles is, are we talking about used vehicles or new? I mean, obviously,
new
cars have to come
they come from the dealers.
Right, but then used cars, private owners are the biggest source of used cars, and then dealers would follow that, and then used car lots.
Are there steps that people should generally take, standard steps, to prepare to sell your car for the highest possible price?
Well, I think that both the seller and anybody looking to buy a used car should find out what it's worth. We have on our site, a price of, if you look up on Edmunds.com, for instance, you can look up, say a 2003 Chevy Malibu, and you can find out what it should cost. As a seller, depending on how urgent you want to sell, I would be, realistic about in the housing market, be realistic about the price you set, because if you set it too high, you'll just blow people off. Now, on the other hand, it's a great, unlike the housing market, it's a great time to have a used car to sell because there's a shortage of used cars because, of course, new car sales have been low in the past few years, and so whenever there's a strong demand and tight supply, prices are higher.
Is there anything that people should do to prepare their car to show? Like if you're selling your home, you're supposed to declutter the place, make sure the walls are bright, whatever. And are there some standard things like that for car sales?
Well, I certainly would think that some of those same things apply. I mean, if you want to get top dollar, get it cleaned up as much as possible, fix the things that are minor to fix that will jump right out at a buyer.
At least drop the $6 and go to the car wash is what you're
saying. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Grace,
and use a vacuum.
Grace in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Grace.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What you got?
Well, I have a 2005 Yukon XL, which is costing us at least $100 a week just in gas. And we'd like to try to sell it and get something a little more affordable in gas mileage, obviously. And no one is willing to buy such a high-consuming gas vehicle. That's our dilemma.
That is an issue because, of course, high-mileage cars are the most attractive right now. And there were a lot of those big SUVs on the market for a while, and so there are many more of them than actually the demand. Have you checked with a dealer as a trade-in, possibly?
It could be a trade-in. It's in great condition as far as the engine goes. You know, inside it's taken a beating with a family of seven for the last 6 years, you know.
I would give it a shot. I mean, I don't know what you're looking to buy, but, you know, take it to a dealer and say, what would they take it on as a trade-in? And get that price first before you start negotiating the new car.
Right. As far as the cars for clunker, is that program still?
No. You missed, I was just going to say, you missed a great opportunity. The Cash for Clunker program was only the summer of 2009, and it wasn't well-liked by politicians, so I can't imagine that it will come back.
Grace, thank you. Good luck. By the way, I casually tossed off the figure $6 for the car wash. You know, obviously it's more than that.
Oh, we get them here for $3.
Do you? So. Really? What kind of a car? Is this the 9-year-olds with the hoses?
No, you drive through and you can get a $3 car wash that's just fine.
Wow. Now, my producer, I've never gone for the high-end car wash myself, but my producer just told me you can get a car wash with a lot of bells and whistles for $60. Did you know that?
I'm sure, you know, there are people willing to detail cars. I think you can do them for more than that. I mean, if you want a fully detailed engine and all.
Yeah, okay. So if anybody wants to post, we don't have time to do it on the air, but if anybody wants to post on our site or call in, I guess, with what's the most expensive car wash you ever got and what did it include for that money that you don't get with the standard one, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Susie in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susie.
Hi. I wanted to know, in your opinion, is it better to lease a car or buy a car?
Completely depends on your circumstances. If you're, you know, maybe a realtor or you're in business for yourself and you have the ability to write off on your taxes, leasing might be the way to go. If you're a person who absolutely has to have the newest thing every 3 years, my neighbors, for instance, love to have a new car every 3 years. They don't want to. They only lease it to, you know, they only want a vehicle through the warranty period. They don't want any repair hassles, so they always lease their vehicles. But it totally depends.
See, because that's what somebody told me about leasing, and I leased the car, but you have to pay for, you pretty much have to pay for a lot of stuff, you know, like with the brakes and certain maintenance.
Well, you still that's the fallacy of leasing. It doesn't mean that you, it's like a rental car that you take it back and someone takes care of. You still have to do all of the maintenance. And when you turn it in at the end of the lease, you want it in really good shape. Otherwise, you'll be penalized.
Thanks.
And you have to watch your mileage.
Thanks, Susie. Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds.com, editor-in-chief of AutoObserver.com. And I understand that you're featured in a new documentary by the director of Who Killed the Electric Car.
This one is
called Revenge of the Electric Car.
That is correct. I never in a million years, Brian, thought I would be in a movie. But Chris Payne made the movie some years ago called Who Killed the Electric Car. And that was a documentary film about General Motors EV1, which was the first electric car in modern age. And they didn't sell well, but they had a very strong group of people who loved those cars, including Chris Payne. And General Motors recalled them all and crushed them. Probably one of the biggest mistakes they ever made. However, as a result of that, Chris was offered the opportunity for a behind-the-scenes look at the development of the Chevrolet Volt, which is now on the market. And as a result, he did a film that not only looks at the Chevrolet Volt, but looks at Nissan with a Nissan Leaf and the Tesla. And he focuses on personalities of the men behind those. So I was kind of the commentator who set the stage for what was happening in the industry, because during this whole period, of course, the economy crashed. We had two automakers in bankruptcy. We didn't know if the Chevrolet Volt would ever see the light of day, because we didn't know if General Motors would exist. So
I
think it's a terrific film, and it's playing in theaters in New York, by the way.
Are you upbeat if the movie is called Revenge of the Electric Car? Did it go from being killed to exacting revenge?
We will see, because I think the jury's still out. And, you know, right now, if you look at sales figures and you look at, if you add up diesels, hybrids, electric cars, all kinds of alternative fuel vehicles, they only account for 2% of all the vehicles on the market.
It's pathetic. Is it different in Europe or Asia?
It's different in terms of diesels. In Europe, that's about 50% or more of the cars that people buy. But
is that any better in terms of mileage or the environment?
Yes, I mean they emit less CO2 emissions. And they get better fuel economy, but they are more expensive to buy. And that's the issue with all of these technologies. It costs more up front. And there are some incentives, for example, on the federal incentives on the Volt and the Leaf that make it more desirable for consumers, but they just haven't caught on yet. And yet we want cars to emit fewer pollutants, and we want them to get higher fuel economy, but not. And so the automakers are making them. They're introducing mm-hmm. more every year, but consumers aren't buying them yet. So we have not reached a tipping point by any stretch.
The final word comes from Business Insider, which we just looked up, and it says the world's most expensive car wash is in Dubai. For $15,000, your car can get a week-long spa treatment. But in New Jersey, looks like the deluxe seems to be about 30 on average, not 60, and you can add things like foam wax for another $5. So with that,
and it'll rain anyway. Maybe not in Dubai, right? But
not a lot. And we thank Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds.com and editor-in-chief of AutoObserver.com. I think people learned a lot this month about their personal cars and the place of cars in the economy, and we had some fun along the way. So, Michelle Krebs, I'm sure we'll talk plenty of times in the future, but thank you for doing this series with us.
Hey, thanks, Brian. It was fun.
Weekly in October. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Another hour of The Brian Lehrer Show to come. Stay with us.